Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome to Advices Radio, episode 14. Advices Radio is presented by Knapps Gear. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me tonight is who we will call the Wizard of Supplements. And that's a direct quote by Adam Lamb. Tonight I'm with IFBB Pro Roger Bowman. Roger, thanks for being with me.
You're welcome. I appreciate the, I guess I'll take it as a compliment from you and Adam. I don't know if I'd call myself a wizard. I'd say very well versed through the years and through the experience that I've had and whatnot. But
Well, you know, over-the-counter supplements, man, it makes up such a huge part of, you know, the money that goes through the bodybuilding industry. And I see so many claims. We've seen them all our lives about, you know, all the things they're going to do, all these miraculous, you know, different things to our physiques. And unfortunately, a lot of those claims don't follow through. But there are some good supplements out there, and I thought this would be a great opportunity having you on here to kind of talk about the supplements that do work and get a perspective from you about what supplements people should be using. What's worth their money, you know?
Right. And what you said is absolutely true. You know, I always like to say we really do live in a microwave society. We want it now, and we want it like yesterday. Your average everyday American, they don't really want to hear too much that they have to put in too much work or effort in the gym or eating right. And it's give me the pill. But yes, you know, there's definitely a lot of bogus claims and a lot of products that are out there that are just being mass marketed for a profit, you know, to your average everyday consumer. And most people don't know any better. You know, they don't know the little things to look for. How is it manufactured? What's the form of it? What is it really going to flow with their goals, their body type, their age, and so many other factors that play into it? So, they're definitely, it's a buyer beware market, and it's definitely a big money making market, no doubt. There are a few basics though, that I personally think that are good for the vast majority of Americans, given the average everyday diet and lifestyle that we live.
Okay. Well, that's a great place to start. What are some of the must have supplements that people who are into fitness and a lot of our people here that are listening, they're directly focused on bodybuilding and taking it, you know, to an extreme level. But obviously, too, they're going to need the same basic supplements that anybody who just wants to be healthier would need. So where do we start here? What are the must-haves?
Right. And that's an important question because, you know, like building anything, you always want to have a solid foundation. you don't build a house from the roof down. You start with a solid foundation, you build up.
Right.
And the same goes true with building your body and your nutrition and or supplemental regimen. I'm a firm believer in a good quality food-based multivitamin. And please, you know, anybody who's listening, don't mistake that for, I don't want to name drop, but your typical drugstore brands.
Right.
We know the big cheap names, you know, you get a bottle for $9. I'm talking about a good quality multivitamin. Personally, I like New Chapter, Life Extension. There's another one or two out there that are really good as well. So that kind of covers a lot of the basics, minerals, antioxidants, B vitamins, many things of which are kind of missing in diets, especially when we're beating hell out of ourselves and our bodies. Our body's demands for those nutrients are going to go up just like they do for macros, carbs, fats, proteins too. So that'd be one.
Well, what is a food-based multivitamin versus what we would get, say, from a Centrum type thing?
Yeah, well, they'll often have some probiotic cultures like good bacteria they may add in there. Some of them may add enzymes in there. And even more, they'll add or have natural-based antioxidants, such as like D-alpha, like a vitamin D, D-alpha form, which if you look on, say, day one or Centrum, you'll see DL, alpha tocopherol. It's a synthetic version. You'll see the D3 or chelicephorol form of vitamin D, which is assimilated and utilized better in the body versus, say, like D2. I keep going down the list, but like B12 is another big one.
Okay.
Most forms of B12 is cyanocobalamin.
Yeah.
Whereas like the higher quality multivitamins, you'll have a methyl form of the B12, which is a direct active form of that. It's just easier for the body to recognize, easier for the body to put those nutrients to work in a more efficient way.
Okay.
It's just some little things. I mean, generally speaking, to keep it very simple, it's just generally speaking a good idea to, just get your vitamins from a good reputable health food store versus, walking into Walmart or, a drugstore. So not that I want to bash any names or anything. I'm
sure. Again,
just generally speaking.
All right.
And another one I really like too is, I actually just mentioned one of these two, vitamin C. And D, vitamin C, I mean, everybody kind of knows it as an antioxidant, but it's also very, important and helpful for adrenal gland function, bone formation, and other things. Today's stress-filled world, I mean, we're overworked and, we don't get enough sleep. I think that's a pretty basic essential thing to incorporate. And, of course, vitamin D, especially people like you and I living up here in the northern part of the country, winter's unfortunately going to be coming here in a couple months.
It's creeping in. I already feel it.
yeah. I know. I can hear it in the voice a little bit. sniffles. Just vitamin D, known as a sunshine vitamin. It plays a lot of roles and a lot of functions in the body. Again, this is just a generally speaking type of thing. For most of us, it's just a good thing for most to incorporate. And, couple more. I mean, fish oils, omega-3s, EPA, DHA, great for, utilized as an anti-inflammatory, eye health, brain health, and so much more. And then protein powder, and for some, like a good quality BCA formulation, I think is good for somebody getting into, or that's, already, working out, of course. I think those are some fundamental pieces to help complement a good solid foundation.
Okay. With BCAAs, are you familiar with people nowadays? A lot of guys are recommending to use essential amino acids over the branch chains, which would then have, the essentials plus everything else it took to create, building blocks for protein.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that like a little bit more? Just to get the question clear.
Okay. I've just seen more and more debate about branch chains and how beneficial they are. So from my understanding of it, a branch chain amino acid, your leucine, is going to kind of like turn on protein synthesis.
Correct.
But if you have the full spectrum, all of the essential amino acids, then you could actually build muscle with them and not just turn protein synthesis on. I was just wondering if you were familiar, whether you preferred branch chains over essentials, or whether it was something that you hadn't really given much thought to. That's fine too.
Well, I'm familiar with what you're saying. On the flip side, I will say I wouldn't call myself an expert in that area.
Okay.
By all means, I believe in taking, the BCAAs all together, your leucine, ice, leucine, valine. Personally, I like to have a better favor of the leucine and even maybe a little HICA, which I would say is like leucine's big brother.
Okay.
Kind of tossed in. Those have been some favorites of mine. But again, that's something that I would say I have a little more limited knowledge with.
Okay.
To go into great, great detail with.
Okay, no big deal. I just figured I'd stop you and try to pick your brain on that one. There's so much to know about every aspect of supplements that no single person could possibly know it all, right?
Oh gosh, you're telling me. there's a lot and more coming out all the time.
Yeah. So is that, does that wrap our list up of the basic things that you would suggest somebody had? We were talking about, it looks like a multivitamin and, a couple other vitamins you had mentioned, as well as fish oil. And then we got into the whey protein and the branched chains. What about getting into like a creatine? Now, would you consider that to be like something that everybody should be using? Or would you say that is interested in muscle growth since it does work to an extent? Or would you say that that's not necessarily on the list?
Oh, no, I would put that on the list. Would I put it above the items that I just mentioned for maybe somebody who is starting to build a foundation? No. I mean, anybody who's on a consistent and regular weight training or resistance training program, absolutely. I mean, your long distance runner or, doing, the aerobic stuff, I maybe shelf it until, that person is involved with, heavier training, more consistent weight training, resistance training. And one thing I would add to maybe add to that list that's definitely, worth mentioning is the NAC, N-acetyl-L-cysteine. Primarily twofold, from an immune system standpoint, and then two, of course, liver benefit, benefits. My experience and me, I'm a bodybuilder at heart as you are, Scott. I work with a lot of average everyday people who tend to not have the best diets or the best circumstances that they're living under. And often, I see a lot of livers beat up, ALT, AST on labs and stuff come back and they're just kind of jacked up. NAC is just a great thing to help protect that. And again, for immune systems, a lot of people don't know, but NAC is a precursor to glutathione, which is arguably the strongest antioxidant within a human body, which plays and has so many roles for overall well-being and the aging process and more and more and more. That's another topic I could probably dig into a little bit more. But again, that's worth an honorable mention for some. And it's pretty cheap. You could get a bottle for 11, 12 bucks and last you a month or two. So it, for some people, I think that could be beneficial. Again, we're all a little bit different, so.
On the note of NAC, Roger, you were involved with formulation for Size Slim supplements, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, I was with Adam and Matt and Kelsey basically from since day one. When we were kind of giving birth to that company, and I was kind of hanging around and the backdrop there, but yeah,
So
I definitely helped with them.
did you have a hand in putting NAC in their post-workout recovery product? Because I know that that was one of the supplements that I saw in there.
I mean, together, we kind of, tossed our heads together, and myself and Matt and Adam, and it was like, who do we want this product to help? Who's our target audience and all that. And yeah, we did incorporate the NAC into the post-workout, for some of the reasons I mentioned previously in regards to its immune system boosting benefits, liver health, and just an overall well-being standpoint, really. Doesn't have any direct impact on muscle recovery or whatnot. And that's where some of the other ingredients with that formula came into play. I mean, we had the 9-1-1 ratio of the BCAAs with the HICA. From a recovery standpoint. But yeah, we add the NAC with the vitamin C buffered form of vitamin C to kind of give some immune system boosting benefits to it as well.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'm a big fan of NAC as well. What do you suggest people would dose it at?
Typical dosings of NAC is 600 to 1200 a day. The side of 1200 would be in such cases as like upper respiratory infection cold. It's good to take a couple of them a day. It's typically when you get a like capsule form of it, they typically come in 600 milligrams.
Okay.
So that's common dosing there.
I've used the True Nutrition version, which is just a powder, and it has that very strong taste. I think that's the only negative side to NAC for me.
I can even have what do you call it? Like a sulfurous kind of
Yes.
smell and odor to it as well.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, when you mentioned that, that was actually a challenge for us at Site Slim, to get that right.
Oh,
But
sure.
I think at the end of the day, they did a great job from a taste standpoint and putting out a great product
Absolutely.
for that taste. But
I've used that product more than once. And what I found, though, with any time with that product or any other NAC, though, I just try to mix it with the minimal amount of water I can and just get it down and not think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually still use it myself. And, you know, one of my favorites, I just actually kind of came up with this recently. You know, I don't know if you drink LaCroix water. I'm a sucker for carbonated beverages, but okay. I'm not going to go drink a Coke or a Pepsi. That's not me. Never has been.
Okay.
I'm a very, very clean eater, and I primarily drink water. But anyhow, I love to mix a little bit of the Cyslim post intra post in with a LaCroix, a flavored LaCroix, with like a quarter scoop, third of a scoop of like a pre-workout to give a little different taste. It's just one of my favorites to do. I'll just tend to nice. Sip on that during the day when I'm plugging away at the computer and working.
I like that. That sounds like a plan. I found that using the raw NAC powder, I would mix it with my I use like an orange flavored sugar-free Metamucil at the end of the night. And yeah. I dump it right in there, and the orange helps to mask the taste. And I just, you know, drink it down before bed. Do you think there'd be any issues using a fiber powder with other supplements? How, you know, could it possibly interfere? And this is just speculation here. I just kind of wondering offhand here. I wonder if since fiber can slow down digestion, if that also means it would affect my absorption of the NAC.
Yeah, you know, that's honestly, I've actually thought about that myself, because in theory, it's a good thing to ask. And honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did know the answer to that, because, again, I've thought about that, too. Because, yes, I mean, you know, we put that psyllium husk or Metamucil, whatever fiber it is, into, you know, a drink, boom, it's going to expand. And, you know, same thing, of course, when we consume it. So, yeah, I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know if there's any solid studies out there that, you know, that give that answer.
That that right there proves that we're both nerds. We're both supplement nerds if we're thinking that deeply.
Yeah, no, I have. I mean, that's why, you know, whenever I've done fiber supplements like that, because I've done a psyllium husk before, I mean, I just tend to do it away from any supplements. Just
that makes sense.
But, I mean, I don't know. Just kind of do it as a safety measure.
Before we move on, let me go back to one of the products you were talking about, and that was the fish oil. What would you suggest people dose their fish oil at?
Again, it all depends on what your concerns are. You know, obviously, if there's inflammatory issues or any cognitive memory, brain concerns or issues on the table, I mean, 2 to 3 grams a day. Of the actual omega-3s, the EPA, DHA, it's important to look on the label. That's what a lot of studies are kind of revolving around, those higher doses to get, you know, a good benefit. But general health, I mean, it's just kind of a go-to for me, I guess, and what I'll suggest on my clients. I just tell them to look for something that has 600, at least 600 milligrams of actual omega-3s and roll with that. You know, obviously you want to look for something that, you know, it's been manufactured well and it's free of, you know, mercury and the PCBs and, you know, the things that we don't want. But I think that's a good ballpark. Again, it really depends on the person, I think.
Is there any brands in particular that you would suggest?
I really like the Life Extension brand.
Okay.
I'm a pretty big fan of that company. I think they make very high quality stuff. And for any listeners that, you know, are not familiar with the company, you know, their website is phenomenal. I mean, just a wealth of great information on there. And even for some of the guys, you know, in regards to TRT and hormones and all that, there's even some great articles there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I really like that company. They sit well with me.
I really like the Now Foods Atom for my multi. I've been using that sometimes when I want something that's inexpensive. And then for my fish oil, they have a Super EFA, I believe it's called. And seems to be a decent one at least. But, you know, somebody had gotten me thinking, I guess they have pharmaceutical grade fish oil. I hadn't heard of this before. How about yourself?
I have. This was years ago, Scott. Gosh, it's probably 5-6 years ago, roughly.
Okay.
I was digging in at that time and reading and, you know, trying to educate myself a little bit on that. And this is rough memory, but my rough recollection of digging into that is the structural it's just structurally different than natural omega-3s. It's something about like the backbone and how it's made, and it's just not, from what I remember, it's not a simulator utilized quite as well.
Oh, really?
Despite some of the claims, of course, that pharmaceuticals are making. But again, I'm really the wrong person to ask on that.
Okay.
The amount of knowledge I have on it is very little to none. So I really don't have the best, most intelligent response.
Well, it sounds like what you're telling me, though, I better continue doing some research before I shell out the big bucks. It's just because it's going to be expensive, possibly, and I'd need to get it through my doctor doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be better. So I definitely will do a little bit more research on that one. Let's move on here, though. You know what? Before we move on, let me ask you this. So we talked about all these things that are really beneficial and that everybody should have. Is there anything right there on the top of the list that you see that people are using that realistically they don't really have a need for? And once again, like I said, you know, we're talking about what are the least the least important supplements that are available on the market, mainly geared towards bodybuilding. If you can think of, if you can think of any,
there's a few. There's so many, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but I mean, years ago, I was manager with GNC for several years.
Okay.
Several years since I've parted ways with all of that. That's, you know, long ago.
Yeah.
But gosh, I would see so much come through, and you know what I would see, for one, like a lot of the, when we talk about bodybuilding, a lot of just the straight, just high stimulant fat burners that really don't have any additional ingredients that are worth anything.
Wow.
It's just it's nothing more than, in my opinion, drinking 3-4 cups of coffee. I mean, there are those products out there, and they slap a huge price tag on them.
Okay.
I think there are some very effective fat burners out there. You know, maybe they, you know, put some acetyl carnitine, some standardized extract green tea, and maybe a little, you know, yohimbine, and they kind of dial it up a little bit to complement the caffeine, the stimulants that are in there.
Yeah.
But just straight up stimulants, straight up caffeine. I mean, I just think that's, in my opinion, not worth all the money, you know, that they put on that. And I don't know if this is still around, but I used to see a lot of the HCG diet stuff floating around.
Yeah.
It was being touted as though it was real HCG.
Right.
Which, of course, is just a little concoction of a small amount of amino acids where they claimed that it would somehow stimulate the body making HCG,
yes,
which I think is a little bit bogus. And a couple others, you know, I've seen some of the chews that you might find in, you know, one of the big popular health food stores.
Yeah.
It's you know, a lot of times you'll have 3-4 grams of sugar and maybe 100 milligrams, a tenth of a gram of the actual compound that it's in it, whether it be like mango or Garcinia or whatever it is that's in there that's claiming to help you shape up and look better and lose fat.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and those bags of chews, I mean, a lot of them go for like $20-$30 a bag, and it's like 50 cents to a dollar a chew. To me, that's just kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
And it's, you're definitely not getting any type of bang for your buck.
All right.
And then last, I think some of the cleansing products out there are a little overhyped. You know, kind of marketing towards, you know, lose some body fat, look better. But the amount of stuff they put in there is so small, it's not going to really do much of anything. I mean, you really have to have some good doses of whatever that ingredient is to really, you know, do something. So those are a few things off the top of my head, that I would kind of tell people to steer clear from.
Okay, cool. Well, we do have some new guys that are listening to this show, so hopefully that will help help some of them save at least a few bucks and redirect them maybe into something that's more important. So on you mentioned fat burners, and I definitely want to get to that. I kind of have a personal investment in nootropics, though. It's been something I've been exploring a lot recently, and I would be very curious to hear anything that you could tell me about nootropics, the different types of nootropics that exist, the things that work, and how should I put these things together?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that, because, you know, over the last couple of years, that's been a topic of interest to me. It has become a big topic of interest to me.
Okay.
And currently, I've been diving in and experimenting personally with a handful of different nootropics.
Nice.
Piracetam, Nupet, are a couple of my favorites. I don't know if you or any of your listeners are familiar with powdercity.com.
No.
But you could actually just buy, a straight up bag of Nupet or a bag of Piracetam or N-acetyl-L-carnitine or whatever your nootropic is, and they'll send you just a straight up bag with just a generic label on it. And
sweet.
The cost is excellent. I mean, the cost per serving is, it's just amazing. So I've become a big fan of them. But absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of different routes and combos and whatnot that you can put together, many of which are revolving around choline.
Okay.
Choline is definitely essential for brain functions, cognitive function, clarity of thinking, memory, and all that good stuff. So that's where, the piracetam, that was the one that came out, several decades ago, and that's been around for quite a while. The piracetam, they won't make you more intelligent per se, but, when you combine it with choline, it definitely has the ability to improve your memory quite substantially.
Okay.
So that's, that's a pretty good one. The thing with piracetam, the dosing tends to be much, much larger in comparison to, say, like Nupet. Piracetam, there's kind of some speculation what the best doses are. But personally, I do, when I have used it and do use it, 4 to 5 grams a day of the piracetam.
Okay.
The key thing with that is you need to take it with the choline.
Hmm.
Because what it does is it enhances the function and uptake of that choline. And so the last thing you want to do is then kind of have like the after effects where you have like a foggy brain, and even potentially like a headache, after, like a crashing effect. So it's really important to take the choline with, the piracetams.
Okay.
So, and the cool thing with the Nupet, is from my reading and my understanding is that it may help by increasing what's called NGF, which is like a nerve growth factor. And enhances the levels of that in the brain.
Okay.
And which then those are involved in neurogenesis, which is like, in layman's terms, like the birth of new neurons in the brain.
Interesting.
Which improves the performance of neural networks within the brain, allowing for new neural connections.
Ah.
The end result potentially, is improved mental abilities and like a lot of different areas of, cognitive function. So it's kind of cool. The Nupet, it tends to get better or has better effects, the longer that you use it.
Okay.
But with that being said, it's also thought that it's best to cycle it as well.
Hmm.
So every couple months, give yourself a break because apparently the body will build a tolerance to it.
Okay.
And I've done that too. I kind of suck at being consistent with like a strict regimen with these.
Yeah.
I kind of just dabble with them because
okay.
I'm still, I would say, in the experimental stages of it. And I'm just kind of like a kid in a candy store. Like, ooh, what can I learn? And let me buy this and I'm going to buy that and I'm going to mix this with that. I don't know. I've always kind of been a guinea pig through the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the different supplements and diets and workouts. I've been, doing all this and working in this industry for almost 20 years now. So I've dabbled with quite a bit of stuff.
Sure. And hey, that's how we figure things out a lot of times too. You can only read so much and you have to see what it's like for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And not just myself, I have tons of case studies.
Nice.
With clients I've worked with and continue to work with and talk with. So I see a lot of this coming back. And it's an area that we haven't gone in yet with this conversation, but the bulk of my work that I do is I do consulting work with a company called YouthRx.
Yeah.
Which we do, HRT stuff. So a lot of different supplements or regimens that guys are on and gals too. They like we could have before and then after on lab work. And so, that's a different area outside the brain stuff. But it's all about trial and error, not just with ourselves, but other people and just kind of communicating that feedback. And of course, looking at the studies and researching it and learning it as well. Very, it's a very interesting area. of conversation. I agree with you.
What do you think about Huperzine A?
Definitely helpful. You know, that's something that we, I don't know if it's still in the Size Slim.
I believe it is in the Size Slim Focus product.
Okay. Yeah. I thought they put that in because I initially was kind of slapping some ideas together for that formula. And, you know, I left in February.
Okay.
But I thought they changed an ingredient or two. But yeah, anyhow, Huperzine is great. So Huperzine is thought to increase the levels of the acetylcholine in the brain. And again, I mean, that's, you know, like when we can, there's different forms of choline that we can supplement with.
Okay.
And before I go in, I'll go back to the Huperzine here in a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's well, four, I guess, but three primary forms of choline. One is got the choline bitartrate. That's the least expensive. It's the cheapest. Then we have the CDP choline. That's bioavailability. It's pretty good. Mediocre on price. And then what's known or argued to be the best form is the alpha GPC form of choline. And that, it crosses the blood-brain barrier much more effectively, which that's important. We got to get it from point A to point B. And that is a direct precursor into this acetylcholine within the brain.
Hmm.
So back to the Huperzine A, again, it's thought to increase the levels of that acetylcholine within the brain. So, and if we refer back to the piracetam, that increases the activity of that acetylcholine.
Mm.
So see where the combinations start to come into play?
I do, yeah, yeah.
Work as a team. So some of, you know, some of the concoctions and the formulas that are coming out strategically put these together pretty nicely.
Interesting.
And I might sound a little biased here because, you know, I played a role with it, but, you know, the Sisalin Focus, in my opinion, is it's just an amazing blend.
I think it's a great product. You know, Adam had sent me some out and I'm still using it. I found that I just used one tablet, one capsule. That's enough for me. And I never feel like overstimulated. It does have some caffeine in it. You know, when I spoke to him, he came on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio with us and I asked him about that. His thought was that they did want to, he said that some of the products that were in Focus may create more of a relaxing effect. And so, okay. And that's what he had said. And so the idea of the caffeine was to counteract that. Whereas my thought was like, as a purist, say, as a nootropic purist, I would think that you wouldn't want to add caffeine because I feel like, oh, it may interfere, you know, or it may kind of muck up my view of how well it's working. Because I'm certain if I drink a cup of coffee that I'm going to be stimulated and my brain focus is going to improve too. But he had explained to me though that it is beneficial. What are the things in that product that can create more of a relaxing effect? And why would you consider using something like that in your nootropic stack?
Good question. I mean, to the first part of that question, the bokicide, if I'm pronouncing that right, it's, I was always questioning the proper pronunciation of that. But bokicide, that's known as an adaptogen. So for adrenal gland function, stress, anxiety, it's known to help alleviate that. So of course, you know, with stimulants such as caffeine, those type of feelings may occur. Now, I don't think at such a low dose that's in that Focus that would happen, but any little chance of it maybe happening should be, you know, kind of beat down by the bokicides. And then also the theobromine, it gives, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, like a stimulating effect without it being a stimulant like caffeine or a stimulant in the truest sense stimulates you.
I see.
I'll probably use that word too much, but the theobromine just gives that sense of clarity and I guess sharpness without the jitter type of feel. So those are other ways that kind of enhances the cognitive function, the focus, you know, of that formula. And the acetyl-carnitine is a nice addition as well. You know, that actually helps delay or prevent oxidative damage. So for those that, you know, like the older population, you know, they may have signs of Alzheimer's or dementia or things of the sort.
Okay.
There's been a lot of references and studies that have been done where the a lot of people refer to it as ulcer, which is acetyl-L-carnitine,
okay.
May help, you know, diminish some of those cognitive declines in those populations. So it's definitely a complementary item that's put in that formula. So yeah, I mean, that's so sad. You know, with that having NOPEP, again, because how it's been shown to, you know, increase the nerve growth factor, the NGF.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of builds the brain. I guess it's like building, you're helping fill more building blocks into the brain.
Okay.
That is where I was saying, like, it could actually get better in time.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, it's, again, it's, I guess, still a newer area, you know, within the supplement industry.
Yeah.
There's still so much to learn and so much, you know, just with time and, you know, research and trial and error and whatnot. I think there's still a lot to be learned to know or have a better understanding of what truly works well and maybe what's kind of so-so or we're not really sure.
Gotcha.
It's an interesting area. I love it.
So. It's exciting, man. And this is exciting talking to you because you know, like 100 times more than I do about this. So I'm like everybody else in the audience here. I'm just shutting up and listening and learning.
Well, I'm still learning myself. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that I definitely do not know everything about everything. And that's the beauty of the human body, you know, and nutrition and training and hormones. It's just a never ending learning curve. I mean, you're just always learning. There's just so much to discover.
Well, before we move on to fat burners, then let me ask you, because I'm still not sure. You mentioned choline and you mentioned its importance, but to these stacks. But can you please explain to me what choline does?
Yeah, so choline, it's a precursor into acetylcholine,
okay,
which acts as a neurotransmitter. It's
okay.
Like a chemical released by nerve cells to send signals to other cells.
Okay.
So within the brain, you know, it may improve your memory, may promote focus, cognitive health. Some even say it may balance their mood.
Hmm.
And it's also linked, you know, to a lot of other health concerns as well outside of, you know, the brain part of this discussion. Choline is known to be fairly deficient in most people's diets. So, but in a nutshell, like I was saying, you know, choline, it's a, you know, kind of precursor in acetylcholine, which is the active form. It's like just an important brain chemical messenger, I guess you could say.
Okay. Well, that's interesting then. So that's where I want to start, it sounds like. If I'm going to go to Powder City and start creating my own concoctions, that sounds like that's the foundation, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a complementary thing. You know, the choline, I mean, it's just me. I like to have it as a complementary thing that I may add, say, to a pre-workout, or I may even add to, you know, like a focus, blend or whatever that I currently already have.
Okay.
But yeah, again, there's, you know, the three main forms, alpha GPC, which really is shown to be the best because it crosses the blood-brain barrier. The CDP choline, which is good, you know, from my understanding, it's like the second best. Choline bitartrate is the least expensive.
Okay.
Still good, but there's some speculation. And another one, too, I didn't mention before, simply referred to as PS, but it's the phosphatidylserine, which is derived from soy. That's another natural source of choline, which I will say, I mean, you know, especially, you know, a lot of us in the bodybuilding world, you know, we're familiar with soy, and, you know, like there's concerns. Well, will it have estrogenic activities and so on and so forth? With the manufacturing process, with my understanding of the phosphatidylserine from the soy, it's so far removed that you shouldn't have any worries with that. But that would be like the most natural way to get choline.
Okay.
But again, keeping it simple, the alpha GPC choline is what I personally would recommend.
All right. That's what I am definitely going to go with then. So moving on, a topic that I think has created a lot of money for a lot of people in the supplement industry, and that is fat burners, because everybody wants to get in shape. you've kind of told us a few things that you don't recommend about fat burners, but I've seen in my own life that there are some things that work really, really well that are over the counter. What are some particular supplements that you would suggest?
Yeah, you know, of course, I'll preface by saying it depends, of course, on the person, know, what's their gender, how old are they, what's their body type, endomorphic, ectomorphic, like, what are the goals? Like, so there's always, like, you know, who are you and what's your goals and, you know, what are we working with? And that sometimes will dictate what I may recommend to somebody.
Okay.
But anyhow, you know, kind of going into some foundational pieces that tend to work for a majority of people. You know, I will start out, you know, green tea. It's important. I'll note that it needs to be in a nice standardized extract.
Okay.
Where you get the polyphenols and what's called the EGCGs, you know, because that's, you know, what's suspected to enhance the pathways to, you know, enable that adipose body fat to be broken down. That's the outside jiggly stuff. So it kind of helps to target that, enhance the body's ability to kind of break that down.
Okay.
Another is carnitine, whether it be L-carnitine or acetyl-carnitine, which, of course, I was just talking about. With the focused brain stuff, but the acetyl-carnitine, if you look on a lot of bottles of carnitine, you'll often see, and I don't even have it in front of me, but it would say helps facilitate the metabolism of long chain fatty acids. Okay. You know, like in layman's terms, it just helps the body attack that more visceral body fat. So that's the body fat that tends to accumulate around our internal organs. So you see those guys that might have a big like belly that's kind of pushing out, but it's really hard because all their fat isn't like deep down in there.
Yeah.
That's actually the worst kind of fat too, to have. But anyhow, the carnitine enables the body in layman's terms just to break that down more efficiently and then help shuttle it into the mitochondria, burn off, and utilize it as energy. So I think that's a nice way. Both of those are nice ways to enhance, you know, the different pathways, you know, breaking out fat and fat loss without, you know, using a ton of stimulants. I think a couple more, two more. One, Yohimbe HCL or like an alpha Yohimbe.
Yes.
Not be confused with the Yohimbe bark, because that's not it's not standardized extract.
Right.
I mean, you might get like a Yohimbe bark that has, you know, 8 or 850 milligrams, but you're really not going to get all that out of that. But
sure.
That's one. And then it's tyrosine.
Okay.
I think, you know, especially with those that are dieting pretty hard, and they made it, you know, maybe they need a little bit of a bump and maybe their thyroid is kind of starting to take a little bit of a hit. I mean, because the tyrosine, which is amino acid, it helps to support thyroid function. And it's also a precursor into adrenal hormones, like norepinephrine and epinephrine. So, you know, if you're in a caloric deficit, it's really good to give a little boost, you know, in times of dieting. So I think those are some pretty good foundational pieces for a lot.
Okay.
But again, you know, I think it could vary, you know, from person to person.
Sure. Sure. Like I found I have to be very careful with Yohimbine. It, I have a lot of negative side effects from it. It makes me feel anxious. It makes me feel kind of sick. Like I have a fever, you know, a lot of bad stuff, even at low doses. But then I've had clients that can take large doses. I had a bikini girl who was taking 10 milligrams and she said she was fine. I can hardly tell I'm taking it. She said, she just got a little energy and that was it. But man, 10 milligrams would have destroyed my day. Let me put it that way.
I noticed too, if I, and this is me personally, because I do use it, I had the Yohimbine HCL. If I take more than 5 to 7.5, you know, because I got the 2.5 milligram caps, I take more like 5, 7.5. I same thing with me, Scott. I'll start to feel like a little jittery. I actually did that. You know, I took a couple of these with New Breed's pre-workout, which is great. Insanity, I think it was. I just used the last of it, but
okay.
New Breed, you know, a supplement company based out of Michigan, they got some great stuff too. But anyhow, they have the Yohimbe HCL in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, dumb me, I took a couple of these with that pre-workout.
Yeah.
And I was training in the gym with my girlfriend. I'm like, man, I just feel really jittery. I mean, it wasn't a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I have not made that mistake since.
I bet. Yeah. Our other radio show was sponsored by a company that had 20 milligrams of Yohimbine in their product. I don't know why it was, but it didn't feel that strong. And I'd have to believe these guys were being honest in dosing their product the way they claimed they were, but there was no proprietary blend. It said 20 milligrams, yet I did not feel like I took 20 milligrams when I took it. So,
I don't know. I would definitely not be willing to try 20 milligrams.
No, I did not know the first time I took it, put it that way. I took the scoop and read the label later. You had mentioned Alpha Yohimbine. Have you seen much of a difference? I haven't tried this yet, but I hear that some people do experience less side effects and you could get more out of a lower dose.
Actually, you know, that's exactly what I've heard as well. I've talked to two people on the HRT side of things with a lot of the consulting work I do that have used it. They claim, you know, they like it. They've used regular, they've used different things. Good feedback, nice. You know, in short. And I've read similar things, a little bit online and, you know, testimonials, whatnot. I have not personally used the Alpha myself. It's just been, you know, I've used the Bark years ago, which really didn't do much.
Right.
And the HCL, I've kind of played with,
Okay, last topic then, and I will let you go. But we wanted to know, too, what do you suggest to the guys that are on HRT, or some of these guys are actually, you know, they're running more. And I know that, you know, from your position, that's nothing that you can really comment on or nothing that you would suggest anybody did. But we do have guys out there that are using various, you know, anabolics at HRT or higher doses. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you and I mean, we know how it is. I talk to guys like that, and I know of many that do that. So, you know, I get it. I understand it. And I guess backing up a second. So what would be the question? Like supplemental wise, what would be good that might be complimentary?
You look on the message boards and the main thing I always see is, you know, I'm taking my D-ball, but don't worry, I also have my Live 52. You know, and basically it begins and ends at either Live 52 or Milk Thistle. And those are the one or two are going to be the main thing that I see a lot of these guys taking. And then they take nothing else for supporting their body while they're on cycle. What would you suggest anybody would use who is going to be dabbling in this side of things?
Yeah, well, that can depend. Kind of a similar answer to how I prefaced some of the other questions.
Sure.
It depends on the individual. You know, I mean, working with a lot of the people that I work with that are on programs, you know, some of them I highly, strongly suspect that they're adding stuff. I'm not a dummy. I see the writing on the wall. You know, some guys, they may show high test levels, but they still have sexual dysfunction, or they still don't have that pep in their step that they know that they should have from excessive levels of testosterone, this, that, and the other. Hmm. So everybody's always a little bit different. A couple of favorites, though, supplemental-wise, that I like to randomly suggest that may complement programs. One, carnitine in a tartrate form. And it's important to take note of that because we talked about, you know, regular form and acetyl forms carnitine earlier.
Yeah.
But carnitine tartrate, in layman's terms, it helps testosterone be received better at its receptor sites where we want, you know, to go and be taken up.
Interesting.
And then another, it's been shown to enhance the ability of sperm and their swimming capabilities, the strength of the, you know, their swimming strength. Okay. So, anybody, that especially maybe coming off of, you know, a TRT program because, you know, the girlfriend is beating them and they want to have a kid or whatever, and they're having fertility issues. I mean, carnitine is a nice thing to incorporate. Also, you know, there might be issues with excessively high sex hormone binding globulins, Or, you know, maybe their free T levels are not where they should be.
Okay.
And I personally, I've had great success myself, and many of clients I've worked with have great success with stinging nettle root. Hmm. And that's the important thing. And it's important to look for the root, you know, so you get the sterols and, you know, the right goodies, the compounds. But essentially it just helps to, cause the sex hormone binding is kind of like throw the testosterone in a headlock and carry it around and all that, which is, you know, that's important. But too many of them can have too much of the, of a testosterone kind of bound up. And
sure.
And, it kind of helps to, kind of punch them and unlock their headlock a little bit. I try to be like, I'm trying to speak it as simple as I can. So that's good. And then, DAA for short, but which stands for D-aspartic acid.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with L-aspartic acid, but the D-aspartic acid, you know, kind of in a roundabout way has similar functions to HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin.
Okay.
To where it kind of tells the pituitary gland to release, you know, LH, FSH, which, you know, cells, testicles, gletic cells that make more T. And so it's a good way, you know, if somebody is, you know, cycling off or coming off, for looking at over the counter stuff. I think those are, you know, a few good ones. I'll tell you another one. This is, and I can give you a good case study. Hopefully she won't yell at me, but, there's a new compound. Yeah. I mean, I just recently learned of it about maybe 9, 10, 11 months ago.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to pronounce this, cause I actually got a bag of this stuff. And I got it from Bad Monkey Botanicals.
Okay.
Seems to be a pretty good site. You know, the delivery was very on time, seemed professional. But it's called Brassiopsis glomerulata. And I'll spell it for any listeners because I think
there's okay. Yeah.
And I'll explain it here in a moment.
And God bless you for even trying to pronounce it.
I know. I mean, I know. This is like a tongue twister of all tongue twisters. So it's B as in boy, R, A, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, A, I, O, P as in Paul, S as in Sam, I, S as in Sam, and then glomeruluta. I'll say it. So G as in Glenn, L, O, M as in Mary, E, R as in Roger, U, L, A, T as in Tom, A. Okay, so anyhow, so what it's limited studies on it. It's very, very limited, but pretty promising if you to kind of dig on it a little bit. But it's been shown to lower aromatase enzyme activity in the body, therefore lowering estrogen levels. So I was kind of curious. So I had my girlfriend do her lab work back in the winter, and lo and behold, her estrogen levels were definitely elevated.
Okay.
And, you know, here I'm trying to, help her and support her with, dropping some body fat, and she's done a great job. That's another subject in itself. But anyhow, we incorporate a little bit of this, and definitely seeing some good, some good changes, some good benefit. And it's just kind of hard to find it. The only product I've seen that has just a little pinch of it is, New Breed has a product called Hysteria.
Okay.
I think it was only like 50 milligrams, whereas some of the stuff that I read, they're recommending, 500 milligrams 1 to 2 times a day. But, for anybody who's looking for an extra AI, or maybe they don't have access to, things such as Arimidex or Anastrozole or whatnot,
yeah.
It could potentially be a solution. Maybe. So that's a good one. And then, moving on from that, some other concerns is in regards to DHT, which, of course, is coming from, elevated levels of testosterone via
sure.
the alpha reductase enzyme. So controlling that is sometimes helpful, on a couple different levels. Prostate concerns, which actually is fairly rare in my experience.
Yeah.
But then acne. There's some newer topical approaches with the sterols from Salpamedo being utilized.
Oh, really?
And one I thought was pretty interesting, and I actually tried it and actually have been using it for a couple of years. I currently am out, but for the most part, for the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been using it. It's a product called Clearagen. So it's a topical application because things like, say, sulfamethyl taken internally, it's really not going to do much, at least in my experience, from an acne standpoint, helping the issue or anything like that. But applied topically, I mean, personally, I definitely saw some difference and some benefit.
Interesting. I hadn't heard of this, man.
Yeah. It's got, some borage oil. It's a lot of natural extracts, but one of the key players is the sulfamethyl extract that's in there.
Okay.
Mainly associated with DHT control.
Okay.
Which of course is, that's one of the main culprits with acne related issues, especially with, TRT.
Sure.
So those are, a few off the top things, but again, every situation is always different with everybody.
Okay. Well, this is giving us some great insight. And I think that, the DHT, topical saw palmetto, that right there is gold. Cause if somebody can get that to work and they can avoid having to take, there's so many actions that one can, so many roads, I should say, that one can go down to combat acne, and some of them get pretty aggressive. So if they could use something natural like that to start and it fixes it, then more power to them,
Yeah. And with that, that's actually something that hits home for me. I mean, you name it, and I've done it through the years. I mean, years ago, but the Accutane and,
oh God, yeah.
I mean, every topical and internal antibiotic, and much, much more. There are a few fundamental things that I found that really does a great job of, keeping my skin looking pretty good. But again, I mean, when we play with hormones and testosterone, it's they're all kind of like a domino effect. You elevate one, you could affect the other, which can affect this one. And so sometimes it's a case by case. So everything isn't suitable for everybody.
Sure.
But sometimes, when labs are present on the table and we have symptoms and all that, we could often dictate, what might be best for each individual. But yeah, unfortunately, speaking from that pharmaceutical side, especially with the really enhanced guys,
yeah,
I mean, there's definitely limitations with over-the-counter stuff as to how, how much is going to help in comparison to pharmaceutical approaches.
Absolutely. So, Roger, I really appreciate you coming on, man, because this has been some great information, and I hope that everybody else has learned something too. And I hope you had a good time as well.
Yeah, it was great getting on. I mean, shoot, we were talking about it.
I think since
I saw you at the Arnold when I had my crazy mustache.
so you don't have the mustache anymore, huh?
No. It was fun while it lasted, but and my girlfriend, she just finally reached a point. She's like, I cannot even look at you anymore. You've got that thing.
Yeah, that's the final straw right there. When the girlfriend's had enough, the mustache has to go. Tell me a little bit more about youthrx.com. And you also have your own website too, rogerbowman.com, correct?
Yeah, I do. I guess you could say it's kind of like a generic site that I'll randomly write blogs and put them on there.
That's for Roger Bowman, correct?
Right. RogerBowman.com. Yeah. Just, subjects of, health and wellness, and, a lot of the things that I do. Because we're bodybuilders at heart, the majority of a lot of the people I work with are average everyday people, unlike hardcore bodybuilders, and competitors and all that. So, a lot of people have concerns, with inflammatory issues. I have a couple that are, they got cancer on the table. Just people who have been obese and they just really don't know where to start. And they're kind of getting into it and they really need a lot of guidance. So that's kind of where the path is taking me. So you'll see, articles relevant to those type of topics on rogerbowman.com.
Cool.
And then I also do a lot of writing, as of this year, YouthRx's website, which is youth-rx.com. And that's where I do, probably 90% of my work. I work as a national wellness consultant, kind of like a middleman, I guess you could say, between our two doctors and quite a bit of our clients nationwide. So very rewarding work that I get to do and kind of get to talk shop, I guess you could say, all day, every day.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate having you on, Roger, and I'd love to have you back again sometime.
Absolutely, Scott, and I appreciate you having me on. It's definitely been fun, and yeah, all sounds good.
All right, Roger, I will talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Scott.
Okay, guys, we'll be right back in just a minute with Chuck Zarowski. We're going to dig into the mailbag and answer some listener questions. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Advices Radio. As always, I'm your host, Scott, and with me again here for episode 12 Q&A is Chuck Zarowski. What's happening, Chuck?
Hi, Scott. How are you, man? How's everything? How's training? How's life?
Both are really good, man. I can't complain about either. I was telling you my back was a little bit out there for a few days. It had given me some grief, but I seem to be recovering now. So
that's good. How long were you hurting for?
Maybe like 2 days. I was training legs and it just started spasming terribly. So thankfully, my friend and my co-host or host at Bodybuilding Nerds, he doesn't live too far away and he's a chiropractor. So I just gave him a quick call and said, "Listen, man, you mind if I stop by?" And he popped my back into place, and started recovering from there. So
VJ's the man.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Veej.
I tell you what, one of the best people I've ever met. Honestly, not just in bodybuilding, but one of the best human beings I know.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. So how about you, man? How's your training in life?
Training's going okay. I was just playing around over at Strength Depot, which I'm going to shout out to them too.
Nice.
Strength Depot is like, it's a powerlifting strongman gym, and they got a monolift there. They got the stones and everything. But I think what's going on is my training's doing better because I'm doing a little more conditioning stuff. Like, I'm doing a lot of farmer walks. Like, I did some farmer walks with 250 pounds in each hand.
Nice.
And so I did some farmer walks. I made it like 10 feet, but whatever. I still amped up, you know? And then, like, I think that conditioning is good. I think pushing the sled is good. And what it's doing is it's adding extra volume where I probably wouldn't add extra volume.
Okay.
And I think between the conditioning and the extra volume, my strength's starting to go up. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Very nice.
Bench is going up and squat and deadlift are going up. I think my deadlift is more of a technique issue right now because I'm getting it moving off the floor. And usually if you get something moved off the floor, like Dave Tate says, if you stop a little bit up, it's usually a technique problem. But anyways, long story short, things are going pretty good. And I'm on a new job now, so I'm going to only have to work 3 days a week. So I'm pretty excited about that.
No kidding.
Some time in the, yeah, only 3 days a week. Nursing hours, it's only 3 12-hour shifts. And then I get to train and, be with Ben and everything else. So
you say only 3 12-hour shifts, but I bet those are 3 brutal shifts.
You know what? They say it's all relative, right? So sometimes if you get like the right patient, you're real busy.
Yeah.
12 hours can go like nothing. But like if you get the wrong patient and, the wrong situation and the wrong people, that might be working or might not be working.
Yeah.
It's, not that anybody does that, but it's just – some days are a lot easier than others, and some days go by quick, and some days when you're just not busy, it just drags, so you look for stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, it's good, though.
I can imagine, though, any job I've ever had in my life, I've always been able to say, at the end of the day, I'm not saving lives, Scott, so I can just relax, and I can remember that. You don't get to say that.
You know what, though? Honestly, it's probably, I went back to the cardiovascular ICU from where I was, and it is so rewarding. It's nice to see people get better, and then you see them and they're on the cusp of dying, and then you see the family get excited because there's subtle improvements, and then those subtle improvements become large improvements, and then eventually the patient's extubated, and eventually you get them up in a chair. It's pretty damn rewarding, and it's cool because my 10-year-old's proud of dad because dad helps people, and it's a good feeling. And I missed it in the other job. I really did.
All right, let's move on here and start going through some of our listener questions. I think that I've got a couple more that I may be missing here. People sometimes message me through Facebook, through my personal page, or through the Advices Radio page. And if they do that, I try to get them over to the question box, because I know that if they're in the question box, I know where we left off and I know where to start back up. But sometimes I don't always get them over. So if I missed one of your questions and it gets siphoned down through my email or whatever, please let me know again. Or better yet, just go to the Advices Radio page and you can post stuff up over there.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's see. Okay, first question. And this is one that I don't think I'm going to have a legit specific answer for, but I'm going to give it a try here. I'll speculate. He says, okay. The tests on generic GH have proven to be crazy good. Many of the generics test to be overdosed. Don't want to name brands or sources, but it isn't uncommon for an independent analysis to show 15 units on a 10-unit vial with 95% purity. However, farm grade seems to have a different set of side effects and seems to be much more effective at lower doses. Why is this? Do you care to speculate? Is it just a placebo effect because farm costs so much more? It isn't uncommon for people to claim that 15 plus units of generic a day, but very rarely do people surpass 6 units of farm grade. Okay, so honestly, I mean, I can't say. I mean, I've seen the same lab tests that this guy is talking about. I have seen blood work that shows high GH levels and high IGF levels. Yet, yeah, there's something different about farm grade. And I have to wonder whether the results we're seeing on the lab work is the be all end all. I don't have anything more to say, but I speculate that yes, there is a difference, that it's possible. My guess, and once again, this is just a guess, my guess is that you could have, on a test, it looks like your IGF levels and your GH levels are higher due to the drug that is in your system. But I can't say that, I don't know. But my guess, my bro science speculation is is that, that the farm grade stuff is going to be better still.
Well, I mean, farm grade isn't anything farm grade. It's usually tested, right? I mean, it's usually tested for purity and, like, it's filtered a certain way and everything is pretty much standardized, right?
Sure. And there are some really good generics, though, that are testing out to be just as pure. I mean, sure. I've seen Hydrotropin's test at 99% purity. Bill Llewellyn said on the Underground Anabolics Guide that it was purer than one of the farm grade GHs that it went up against. Yeah. And like I said, I'm just totally guessing with that one.
So, makes sense, though.
Yeah, we'll move on from there. Okay. Next question. Firstly, I'd like to say that I love the show. I'm into strength training over bodybuilding, but I enjoy the content you put out. My question is, I'm currently on TRT and looking for the best short cycle to run in between my 8-week shots. So he's on the long test. I need my test levels to be back to TRT levels again before my next shot in case of a random blood check by the doctor. My idea was 4 weeks of test prep at 100 milligrams every other day, straight into TRT after. Yeah, so whatever he does, he's going to, I mean, realistically, yeah, I think he's on the right track thinking about going for 4 weeks, you know, if this is what he wants to do.
I think it sounds right.
Yeah.
I think it sounds right. I think it's to get the levels, a certain level. I think it's good.
And I would definitely continue on the long acting test this whole time, you know.
For sure.
You know, because that's going to take forever to get back into balance. So, yeah, my thought would be whatever he did, he'd want to run it really short. Yeah, test propionate for 4 mm-hmm. weeks. He could do something else really fast acting. You know, depending on what his goals were here, you know, he could add in something fast acting like nandrolone phenylpropionate would be a good option, or your Tren, or even, you know, D-ball for a few weeks, something like that, or Winstrol if he was planning on cutting. And yeah, 4 weeks later, quit that, and I am certain that you should be back to normal 4 weeks after.
I think so too. I like NP as well. I think NP is like lubrication for your joints.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That's awesome stuff.
It's just good stuff all around. I really dislike long-acting DECA.
I dislike long-acting. Well, I mean, when I did a lot of it, like I just did like a longer-acting test, like a test E.
Yeah.
But then like I tried DECA one time and I didn't like the bloat on it, but then I tried NP and it was like, oh god, this is the holy drug. And like your joints just feel like it's like lubricated again.
It's gotten real popular in modern days.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I actually like to run that with Equipoise. That's my mass building combo right there.
It doesn't get too much better than Equipoise, NP, and a little bit of test, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my go-to.
There's really no other reason that you need to go to anything else. That's awesome stuff.
All right, next question. Hey, Scott, love advices and BNR. Thanks for listening. My question is in regards to fertility and restoring natural test production. When blasting and cruising for 2 years with small breaks within that time, my wife and I are wanting to have a baby, so I'll be coming off shortly and have loaded up on HCG and Clomid. Mm-hmm. How would you suggest I run these in order to give myself the best chance of making a full recovery and getting my wife pregnant? Many thanks. I would be curious to hear your medical opinion on this one, Chuck.
Well, you know, like basically you're trying to get your Leydig cells to work again. So you're trying to increase luteinizing hormone. Luteinizing hormone to get your balls nice and zesty and bouncy.
Yes.
So HCG does that really well. But I believe like as far as for like the Clomid and stuff, I think your regular PCT dosages that you normally use, I think that's pretty good. I don't have like a set time on it. I don't have a set limit on it. It does take a little while for your testes to kind of like start working again. I can tell you that I did it.
Yeah.
So I did it. Yeah. Like, when I was younger, I took tests and I wanted to get Michelle pregnant. And so what I did is like, I did a lot of, we had to do a lot of fertility stuff because I couldn't get Michelle pregnant.
Okay.
And we thought it was her, but it was me. You know, you go into the doctor's office, they give you like a hustler that's been flipped through about 100 times and say, go do it, boy. Here's a cup.
Oh, God.
So it's, yeah, exactly. Real romantic, right?
But yeah.
When they checked it out, they found out that I didn't have a lot of motility in my sperm.
Okay.
So what they found out, they also did an ultrasound, and they found out that I had a varicocele. So it's like a varicose veins inside your sac.
Yeah.
And they had to cut them out.
Okay.
And that, if I'd have known the pain I was going to have to go through, Ben probably wouldn't be here because that sucked.
No kidding. But, was the varicocele, did that cause an issue with fertility?
It did, and plus I was on test too. So test has never – well, when you have a varicocele, your testes are outside your body for a reason.
Right.
They're outside your body because they want a cooler environment.
Right, right.
So when you warm up that environment, and that it tends to become less motile and your sperm becomes less motile.
Interesting.
But I loaded up on Clomid.
Yeah.
I loaded up on Clomid, and I think I did – oh man, I did it. Like I didn't know PCT back then. So what I did is for a couple of weeks, I did 100 milligrams and then I went down to 50 and I probably ran Clomid for maybe 4 weeks. That's what I did. And you know, that's somebody that's a little bit younger, but it was supposed to take a year in order for me to be able to get motility in my sperm in order to have Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 2 weeks.
Nice.
So Clomid works really, really, really well. It also works really well for women. So if you get like a lot of times, like Clomid is basically, you know, it's helping women get, you know, get fertile and produce eggs. And so luteinizing hormone works for women like a similar kind of way. But what it does is it a lot of people that will take Clomid, a lot of women that will take Clomid will have twins, triplets.
That's what I was going to say. You got to be real careful because I hear that likelihood goes way up.
It does, but Clomid really works really well for like getting your junk started. And Scott, you'd be better at telling them like a dosage for PCT, but I mean – I think honestly, like it helped me have Ben. I mean, Clomid is responsible for helping me have my kid.
Nice. Yeah, 50 milligrams. That's what I would stick with. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the reason they do the 100 milligrams in the first week of a post cycle is to get the levels up higher, you know, quickly. But then from there, then they taper it down to the 50. But 50 milligrams is plenty, especially like you were saying, Chuck, I would expect to run this long term. So
my
thought is to start with the HCG at around 500 units, every 3 days about, and, start with the Clomid, you know, and here's the thing though, I'm almost hesitant to say come off the test because
yeah.
I mean, I really don't think you need to totally come. I mean, you might be able to, but I guess I take that back. I guess I take that back. You probably should, but I mean, to give you the best potential. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, too, that I have seen a number of people accidentally or purposely get their wife or girlfriend pregnant while running a hard cycle. And I'm talking like some guys that are getting ready for big shows and they're running everything, including Tren and throwing the kitchen sink in. And they happen to be running HCG and boom, it happens. So,
yeah, I've seen that too. I've also seen like the other thing is too, to tell you the truth, is there's everybody's biochemically different. So the body functions different and everybody's not exactly the same. It's like you get responders to test and then you get people that don't respond to it quite so well. And it's same thing. It's the same thing as Clomid. Some people respond like me. I responded extremely well to Clomid and I was able to get Michelle pregnant. Now, there could have been other factors and mitigating factors, but I attribute Clomid somewhat to getting Ben today. But everybody's going to respond differently. So like you said, people have do like 2,000, 3,000 milligrams of a cycle and take a little bit of HCG and get their wife pregnant.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I've seen it, yeah.
From what I understand, and I've never had any experience with this, triptorelin is a peptide that at small doses, and you really need to know how to use this stuff, triptorelin could potentially help you out too. So I would suggest doing some reading about it. I know that in some countries at high, high doses, it's used as a form of chemical castration. So it can have the opposite effect.
Ew, go with Clomid.
Well, this stuff, though, it's used medically at a low dose. You just don't want to take, I guess, a ton of it at once. But yeah.
More is not always better.
Right, right. So I'll move on from here. Next question. He says, the norm in bodybuilding is to have test as the base in any cycle. Dave Pulcinella said on multiple different occasions that he did not use test during his competition days, but rather just androgens only on cycle. Have you or any of your clients ever run an androgen-only cycle? If so, any differences you noticed from running similar cycles with test added? No. I've heard Dave Pulcinella say this, and no, I've always used testosterone. I mean, I've gotten shredded to the bone, keeping test in and not reducing test at all. I think the key is that in order to get a lean, hard look, you have to be conditioned, you know?
Absolutely. And absolutely.
If you have any fat left, that's where the water is going to go.
Primo is, from what I understand, like years ago, it was so expensive and people would use it and not get the benefit that they wanted from it. Like yeah, I've heard people use it and like have crazy results for like shows and stuff like that. But I've never really heard a lot of positive stuff about it.
It's worked. It's worked very well for me. But you know, I've used. I got good stuff. You know.
You got good stuff, plus you know how to manipulate it and use it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, a lot of people don't have your knowledge. So, like you said, isn't it faked quite a bit?
Yeah. It's very expensive to buy the raw materials. So, it's often faked, and you're going to get just, more test probe or something. Okay. But I always want to use testosterone in any cycle that I'm doing. I don't know why Dave was able to like maintain his libido and everything else and feel okay. I know that I would feel terrible without it. I've tried to run gear without testosterone. I just don't feel good. And I don't believe that you have to run like several grams a test, you know, but I do want to keep it in. And I feel
it's the hormone that makes us male.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad thing, folks. I mean, in my opinion, like, I think it's just, it's a fantastic drug, and it's just a hormone that you put in your body, like melatonin.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially that's what it is. It's a hormone that your body naturally produces. And the other thing is too, is like I said before, you know how to control it. You know what the side effects are. You know, like, what the side effects could be. Yeah. And you're able to control it a lot better than a lot of different things.
Well, I do feel like I know what the side effects are. Like, if I'm going to go into a contest prep and I'm going to run a cycle, I'm only going to run things I've experienced before. Like, I'm not going to throw something new in and find out how it works, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do know in my own body, as well as on paper, you know, what to expect from Tren or from Winstrel, or, you know, from the other end of the spectrum. I know what to expect from like Equipoise or Deca, you know?
Right. But a couple things is like, one, you're experienced with it, and two, like, you know, you're getting the real stuff. And the other thing is too, is like, there's a difference between somebody who's experienced something that's going on a cycle to, you know, do contest, and somebody who's just asking for advice and saying like, what do you think about this? And then trying it. Okay. So like you have the exact experience of doing that. Whereas like, if you're going to, I always felt like if I was going to do something first, I was going to try it out before I did it. And I'm not just talking about tests. I'm talking about like, you know, other things and stuff. But like, you have the knowledge of, you've done it before. You know what's going to work. Whereas like, you know, somebody who's never done that before, it's very difficult, I think, for them too, to manipulate and too, to know what the side effects are going to be like, and what they're feeling, sure. You know, what they're feeling and how they're looking, and you have the eye for it. So I just think that's why, again, and I'll say it again, somebody like you is invaluable to contest prep people. Invaluable.
I guess there's another part to his question that I'm not answering. Thank you, by the way.
Okay.
And cause he said, what would similar cycles be? What would, with the test added back in? I can say that I've run lower tests in a contest prep versus higher test. And I do feel like the one thing you might see, all these steroids, they increase mineral retention. And I feel like, yeah, that can affect fluid to an extent. I mean, you're still able to cut it out, but, I do feel like with more tests, I'm able to stay fuller. And I think it might just be from having more hormone that's supporting muscle.
Valid, very valid.
So I'll just leave that one there. Next question is, why is it that though all the variables stay the same during my cutting phases, meaning calories, training, cardio supplements, AAS, etc., all remain exactly the same. In fact, I eat the same 6 meals every day, so food sources don't even change. That my weight doesn't gradually go down evenly, meaning maybe 2 or 3 weeks, my weight stays exactly the same. And then all of a sudden, I'll drop 4 to 6 pounds, and that will become my new base. I only weigh myself on Mondays to avoid the scale screwing with my head. But why the sudden drop instead of consistent losses in body fat? Is this normal, or is it just my body? P.S. I'm a natural endomorph, like Ogden says. Fred Flintstone-like, LOL.
Your body is just adapting. I mean, your body, you know, everybody's body is different, but we don't lose weight. It's like we don't lose weight just in our stomach. We lose weight, like, in a certain way. I think your body's got to, I think, acclimate. And I think, you know, your body's stubborn. Your body fights against you. Your body's, you know, you have different chemicals inside your body too, and like different, it could be sleep, it could be cortisol, it could be some holding cortisol, it could be stressed out, it could be something like that. But, you know, your body will constantly fight you. And Scott, you know it better than anybody. Your body will fight you, and then your body eventually has to give in.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I can agree with that. Also, yeah. I think, well, no, that's not the case here. Because I was going to say, like, I've seen and especially like a carb cycle where things, you know, stay the same, and then somebody has a high carb day, and then the next day they show a big difference, and then they stay, you know, at that dropped state as becomes the new baseline. But I don't have a specific answer, and you know, this is where I have to admit, like, I'm not as much of a scientist as I am what I would consider to be like an artist with this.
True. And I mean, that's
so I don't have all the specific answers all the time. You know, there are people that are real like science based, and I guess in some ways that makes for interesting podcasting because they can maybe break down for you on paper why certain things happen. All I know is that you did lose the weight and that that's what you needed to do. And so we just need to keep doing that, you know, keep, if the goal is to lose fat, keep losing fat, keep doing that and do more of what worked, you know? And so it's like an intuitive thing where I see it happening and I see that we made these changes. Let's say that we removed, say like you were eating 3/4 cups of almonds, which is maybe about like 20 almonds. And then let's reduce those meals down to 3 servings of 10 almonds, which, so we cut the almonds in half, and then you have this dramatic fat loss. And then we see like, oh, he is responding to lower fats. Let's go with that trend and see how we do by reducing more fats when needed, you know, not just pulling it all up just because we can, you know, but when needed, maybe we know that reducing fats is a good option for you. Then I know, you know, that's what we're going to need. That's all I need to know. All I need to know is that you're losing fat and how you're losing fat. But I've seen it happen too. And damn, I don't have a good answer for that one.
I think the body is just adapting. I think the body is resistive to change. And so your body will adapt. It doesn't always adapt at the right time. I think what your point is it's kind of like you get people that are like, hey, Chuck, I need a new program for like my squat.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on? Well, I just want something new. Well, is your squat going up? Well, yeah, it's going up. I just want something new. Why? Why do you want something new if your squat's going up? Your goal is strength. Yeah, and your squat's going up, but why are you asking me for something new? Oh, I know. I just want to try something new.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah, sure.
Well, it goes back to everything works for 6 weeks. And I mean, that's what it does. But I think your body's just trying to fight you. I think your body's trying to fight you, and there's different like hormones in your body. There's different, like I said, cortisol in itself can make you hold water, and you could be just, if you're an endomorph and you're, you know, you're naturally lean anyway, your body's really resistive to that shit. Your body doesn't want to be, your body has a set point, but it doesn't want to be like 2% or let's say 5%. It doesn't want to be that all the time. So it gets resistive. That's why like your metabolism slows down, because your body's accommodating it, right? So your metabolism will slow down a little bit because your body's like, hey, I don't want to starve myself. And essentially in pre-contest, you do that a little bit. You know, you kind of starve yourself slightly and you go into like a, you know, fasted state. I think your body's just trying to fight against it. And if you're getting to the point where you're losing weight and that's your goal and you're still losing weight, you're doing all right.
I agree. All right, next question. He says, I have a show on September 24th, and I'm running farm grade test at 500 milligrams a week. Just switched to farm grade probe at 150 milligrams every other day. Adding oral Winstrol in for 25 days for 50 milligrams up until the show. My question is, I know Winnie can be hard on the joints, liver, lipids, etc. Arimidex can also be hard on the joints. Is it normal protocol to take both? And if so, should I take 1 milligram a day of the Arimidex last week to drop estrogen levels and lose all water? I can't give you an idea on where you need to dose the Arimidex. I would preferably base that off of what your estrogen levels are. But yeah, I can pretty much say that for contest prep, in the last couple of weeks, this is the only time that I would ever suggest like destroying your estrogen levels. You know, we've talked about it before that estrogen is super important to have in your body. We want it there at a normal level. The only time I would ever consider really crushing estrogen is right at the end. And yes, you definitely want to run the Arimidex in a contest prep even if you're using Winstrol. I feel like at 25 days and 50 milligrams a day, you're going to be totally fine as far as joints go. I can't promise that, but I can say, speaking for all the people I've worked with, they've been fine. There have been some oddities where a guy just responds terribly to Winstrol and he takes it for 2 days and his joints start hurting. As long as you're not an anomaly like that, I think you'll be good.
I absolutely defer to you on this. I think that you're the guy to talk to about that. I'm not.
Okay. Next question. I am looking to speed up my metabolism and increase my cardio stamina. Does anyone have any good ideas on what gear I should take and how to cycle it? That threw me for a loop right there. I was expecting to defer to you on strength aspects here.
That's where I was going at. Was like, okay, I get this. We can build up your cardiovascular status, and we can do this.
Okay, so well, let me throw in first then that metabolism and your cardio can be greatly affected in a negative way by certain steroids like tren. You can increase things like red blood cells through most gear, and especially through things like Equipoise or Anadrol. But outside of that, these things are not going to be the first way to increase your metabolism. Where would you go with this one, Chuck?
Are we talking about just he's trying to increase his cardio? Is he saying he's going to increase his cardio, or does he want some sort of gear to help him increase his cardio so he can help his metabolism? Is that what we're asking?
He says, "I'm looking to speed up my metabolism and increase my cardio stamina." And then the next statement is, do we have suggestions on gear that he should take to do this? So since I believe that gear is not going to be the answer for this one, I mean, like I said, you may be able to do better, but it's only going to help with the program. So what's the program, Chuck?
Well, I think as far as for gear, I don't know anything that's going to help you increase your cardiovascular status. I think doing cardio is a good thing. I think if you want to get lean, I really believe in a lot of anaerobic conditioning. I think anaerobic conditioning is the way to go. And when I mean anaerobic, I mean like short intervals, sprinting and or pushing a sled or doing something quick burst, I think is effective for losing weight. The other thing is too, is like if you're gaining muscle mass, your BMR is higher.
Ah.
So the more muscle mass you put on, like, I mean, if anybody sees me, like, if anybody knows me, they'll see me eating. I eat crap. I mean, I really do. I got to start getting that better. But, like, I don't eat very well, but I keep a lot of muscle mass on, so my metabolism is pretty decent. So, I burn through that. But the more muscle you put on, the more your BMR, your basal metabolic rate is. And so you'll have to consume more calories to keep that muscle. And you burn more calories. As far as for getting your – if you're trying to lose weight, I really think sprinting up a hill is cool. I think sprints are good. You got to build all that up. If you want like long distance conditioning or long distance cardio, I mean that's something totally different. And that, steady state cardio is one thing, and that, yeah, you're burning calories and stuff like that. But I believe the impact that you get from anaerobic conditioning such as – again, sprinting, running up a hill, running in sand, pushing a sled, it carries on with your metabolism throughout the day. I think it's more of like, they call it EPOC, or I forget the acronym of what it stands for, but it's basically like you're burning a lot, your metabolism's burning throughout the day. And I think like anaerobic conditioning is probably the best way to go for that, like if you want to get lean quick. And yeah, I think like before a contest, I think steady state cardio is awesome, particularly because it's safer on the joints, right? So it's like, you're not pushing a sled, you're not like really blowing your knees out or doing something heavy. You're just trying to get, you're burning extra calories. So before a show, that's different. But I think conditioning, strength, like to get yourself like lean and, metabolic conditioning, anaerobic's really the way to go, in my opinion. And the more muscle you put on, the more your BMR like increases.
I agree. Yeah. All right, we've got a couple more, but I'm going to just do one more question here. We've got about two or three more We went so long though with the first part of the show that we got to kind of cut it short here. This guy says, first off, love the show. Thanks for doing what you do. Your work keeps me entertained while doing my mindless travel to my job. Awesome. I'm glad. That's great. we can help.
Thank you.
Okay, my question is about PCT. That's post-cycle therapy for everybody out there that does not know. I'm sure everybody knows. There is a lot of junk info out there. I'm sure there is not a one PCT that works for everyone. I would like to know if there are any protocols or templates that you use to help your guys, or maybe a suggestion on what to take, milligrams and timing. Side note, my PCT consists of 500 IU of HCG throughout my cycle, followed by Clomid and Novadex for 4 weeks. I've never had a coach, but that's the best info I could find online. Not sure if that's what the pros do. Thanks again. Love the show. So first of all, I don't think the pros do PCT anymore. I think they just stay on gear year round. Yeah, yeah. But thank you for the kind words too. We much appreciate it. I think that you're right on the money, honestly. I think that I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of doing the Novadex and the Clomid together. The way I've heard somebody else say it, it's kind of like if you could take Tylenol to cure your headache, then taking Tylenol and Advil are not going to cure your headache any better. You know, it's
very true.
It's just kind of, it gets redundant. And my thought is that I would prefer to go with the Clomid if possible. If somebody has, like, because there are situations, like we've talked about Clomid, it is estrogen-like in its structure, and it can produce estrogen-like side effects emotionally. So if you find that you are crying and watching Lifetime television for women, then you might want to switch to the Novadex.
I told that story, didn't I?
I think you did, but refresh my memory quickly here.
All right, just real quick. I was doing PCT and I was taking Clomid.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And like the downy bear, the snuggle bear, whatever it is, the stupid bear falls into the towels. And I was crying and blubbering like an idiot because I thought it was adorable. Yeah. I thought, I need to stop this stuff.
If I would have known that, I would have taking you to like a doctor to get some an antidepressant or something. That's not right, Scott.
I was crying and then like my vision was blurry and the whole nine yards and I didn't feel pretty and you know my makeup didn't look good.
I want to make note here, I'm a big fan of the way he's using his HCG.
I am too.
We look at it, HCG as kind of like a primer. You know, so we use the HCG to get things to turn back on, but then our body needs to produce on its own. We can't rely on the HCG. So people sometimes make the mistake where they run their Clomid PCT along with HCG at the same time. They come off, so they're on their cycle, they end the cycle, they wait their 2 weeks or whatever the time frame is to start the post cycle. They start their Clomid, they start their HCG. They say they feel awesome all through PCT and they don't even understand what they're about. But then they come off of both at once. And now your body is left trying to produce testosterone on its own. It's never had an opportunity to, and it doesn't have the Clomid there to kind of like back you up. So,
yeah.
You know, you're totally just kind of hanging out like sheet in the wind. So
your body just spirals. Your test doesn't know how to recover.
So like definitely,
that's terrible.
Yeah, so you want to run the HCG pre-post cycle therapy, you know, through your cycle, keep the signal going, and then from there, my suggestion would be that when you're really trying to recover, then you need to be off of the HCG. And if it doesn't work, you go your 4 weeks and you come off of that and you feel like you're crashing, then hey, you could always go back on. You could do, you know. That at that point, you might want to continue on the Clomid and then do a couple weeks of HCG again and then go back to just Clomid and try another post-cycle therapy.
Very, very sound and leaves a lot of room for variation too. Like if you're still shut down, you can still continue. So I think that's awesome. Yep. And thank you for the kind words, by the way. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of good feedback, Chuck, about the stuff you've brought to the show, and I appreciate having you here too, man. It's always I'm always learning stuff.
Well, it's, you know, and I'm always learning stuff. So, like, I, honestly, like, you add stuff that I have no foundation in. Like, you know, the way you contest prep people and the way you template it, like I said last week or the week prior, it totally, like, it's the same mirror image of how I train people. It's, you know, like, you want a holism, you want to maintain their health, but you look at the whole picture of it and you don't template it. And I think that's just awesome. And like, I just appreciate being on the show. Like, I appreciate being able to, you know, talk about this stuff, because again, as you can tell from this episode, I'm so passionate about it and I love it, and you're the same way. So it's a good fit. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I appreciate you getting on the show tonight. I know you just got home from work, and the first thing you did was turn the computer on. So I need to get off the phone here with you.
Okay.
So that you can go and spend time with the family.
Yeah, I got to be up studying for a test I have in the next couple days. So, but that's it. But I appreciate it, guys. And thanks so much for listening, guys, and the feedback and everything else. It means a lot. And like, if you need something covered, or if you want something covered, particularly on strength or like bodybuilding or whatever, please ask. I mean, I'm always, whatever I can help you, I will. And if I don't know it, I'll tell you I don't know it.
Yeah, guys, we would love more strength questions for Chuck. And that would help me learn some stuff too. So head over to the Advices Radio website, advicesradio.com. Head over to the question box and post it up. For guys, like I said, there's a couple questions we didn't get to, and there were a couple of them that were before the stuff I'm even answering. We will get to that next time. We'll do everything and more. So thanks again for listening. This is episode number 14. For Chuck Zarowski, I'm Scott McNally. For Advices Radio, keep grinding. Thanks for listening to another great episode on the Advices Radio Network. If you are interested in advertising opportunities, please contact us through McNallyDiets@gmail.com.